This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, August 31st. I'm Audra McCabe. On Saturday afternoon, a scary scene unfolded in downtown Montrose. The owner of Y Bar Hitch Suffolk Punch Horses was giving residents free horse-drawn carriage rides during Saturday's farmers market in partnership with Montrose Dart. But just after 1 p.m., a single horse hitched to the unoccupied carriage was startled while waiting to be loaded into a trailer. The horse ran eastbound on North 2nd Street with the carriage still hitched and ran into a car traveling southbound at the intersection with North Park Avenue. The impact seriously injured the horse, and it had to be euthanized on the scene by responding veterinarians. Thankfully, the driver of the vehicle did not sustain any injuries. Suffolk Punch Horses are a rare breed of draft horse, developed in England for farm work in the early 16th century. Suffolk Punch Horses were first imported to the US and Canada in the late 1800s, but were never as popular as breeds like the Clydesdale. Suffolk Punch's numbers increased in the 1930s but declined after World War II, as agriculture became increasingly mechanized. Rare Breeds Survival Trust, a British livestock conservation group, have classified Suffolk Punches as a critically endangered breed, but numbers are increasing. Today, there are about 600 Suffolks in the US and around 200 in England. Condolences to the horse's owner have flooded in on social media. The Montrose Police Department says there were no criminal actions involved with the incident. Montrose County has announced the selection of a new public health director, Jacqueline Davis. Davis holds a Master of Science in Healthcare Administration from Ohio University and a Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology and Exercise Science from Colorado Mesa University. She's a board-certified fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives. She's also a Montrose native, with more than 18 years of experience in the field. Most recently, Davis was the public health director for Delta County Public Health, where she worked closely with Montrose County through regional partnerships. The announcement of Davis's hiring comes on the heels of 3 confirmed cases of West Nile virus in Montrose County. The risk isn't localized. Health officials are warning of this year's West Nile virus season. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Jenny Kinsey reports, the West Nile season could last longer as the climate warms.
West Nile cases typically spike in August and September, but a warmer, wetter September and October could keep mosquitoes active and virus risk higher later into the year. Dr. Erin Phipps is with the New Mexico Department of Health.
The majority of people who are infected are actually asymptomatic.
Most others get mild, flu-like symptoms. The real danger is about 1% of infections that attack the nervous system.
It can cause seizures, confusion, coma, and even death.
People with conditions like diabetes or who are on steroids or biologic drugs are especially vulnerable. Officials say you should wear repellent, long sleeves, and pants, and avoid mosquito bites to protect against the virus. I'm Jenny Kinsey for the Mountain West News Bureau at KANW in New Mexico.
The Colorado Secretary of State's office says an update to an online voter registration tool allowed information about confidential voters to be temporarily searchable. Benta Berkland has more for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
The update was needed to allow pre-registered 17-year-olds to check their voter status online. But the state said it inadvertently made confidential voter information searchable. Secretary Jenna Griswold's office said 59 confidential voters were impacted before the problem was corrected. Her office said it added measures to ensure it doesn't happen again. The Confidential Voter Program is intended to protect the addresses of people at risk of violence, like domestic violence or stalking.
That was Benta Berkland with the Colorado Capital News Alliance. The proposed multi-billion dollar merger between Paramount, Skydance, and Warner Brothers Discovery is on hold. People across the film industry are watching closely to see what comes next. This includes independent filmmakers and small movie theaters. In Carbondale, the Crystal Theater has been showing movies to the community for nearly 8 decades. Over the years, the independent theater has adapted to changes in the industry, from new technology to the growing popularity of streaming services. As Katarina Villarreal reports for Rocky Mountain Community Radio, the Crystal is once again preparing for change in the face of a new industry merger.
We need the industry to understand why it makes movies and why people watch movies. And hopefully that will continue regardless of who owns Warner Brothers.
That was Will Grandois, the general manager of Carmdale's Crystal Theatre, talking about the overall state of the film industry beyond just the studio merger deal. On February 27th, Paramount Skydance chairman and CEO David Ellison struck a deal to acquire Warner Brothers Discovery with its president and CEO David Zaslav. Since the $111 billion deal was announced, it has faced several issues moving forward. Most notably, on July 13th, a lawsuit was filed against the Paramount deal from 12 state attorneys general. The plaintiffs are asking California courts to block the deal, claiming that the studio acquisition is unlawful and will hurt movie theaters, contribute less films to the market, and raise consumer prices. Former owner of the Crystal Theater, Bob Ezra, is not a fan of the merger.
It just doesn't feel right. You know, it's creating a monopoly.
Bob and Kathy Ezra owned and managed the Crystal Theater for nearly 40 years until it was sold.
Ultimately, it's really beyond me, but, you know, I think most filmmakers, most people in the business are not looking forward to the merger.
Carbondale's Crystal Theater has been in the Dinkle Building on Main Street since 1949. After almost four decades of running the Crystal, Ezra understands how this deal could potentially affect theaters.
The problem with it is that they will control Warner Brothers, which has been a very good and friendly studio to movie theaters. And they have made some good movies, and they give terms that are always pretty decent. Disney, you know, Disney bought Fox and Fox Searchlight, and it got a lot worse for theater owners, because their terms are very difficult. You know, they take a big percentage and they take it during the whole run of the movie, and that hurts the theater owners. Paramount Ellison claims they'll put, I don't know, 30 movies out a year, but that's one thing to say that and another thing to do it.
Despite what Ellison claims about producing 30 movies a year, the Los Angeles County Department of Economic Opportunity released a report on August 18th with data projecting negative economic impacts. The overall effect could be hard on many people across the industry, as Ezra notes.
Like I say, I don't think it'll be good for theater owners, or filmmakers for that matter.
Grandois understands the effects of this potential deal as well.
You know, this consolidation of the industry has a lot of downsides and not that many upsides. It does seem like as you consolidate, fewer films get made. That's what we've seen in the past. And when an individual company has a huge percentage of the market share, they also have a huge amount of influence over the rules and less inclination to be receptive to what theater owners or moviegoers may want of them. They kind of get to do it the way they want to do it, for better or for worse.
Staying in touch with the purpose of film is front of mind for Grandois.
I hope that these executives are sitting in theaters with some degree of regularity, because that's where the rubber meets the road. And I really appreciate Jason Reitman, the director of Juno and some of the last Ghostbusters outings, was at CinemaCon, not just as a director and a speaker, but he was also out there cruising theater seats because he recently bought a theater in LA. And he did that with a bunch of other, you know, big name directors. But yeah, seeing him, you know, sit in seats and really get the nitty gritty of what does this look like on the ground gave me a lot of hope that, like, okay, these guys, they're not going to be out of touch. At least the filmmakers really are trying to get it.
While this potential acquisition could affect theaters, Grandois remains firm in his belief that the community will rally around local theaters and independent filmmakers will lead the industry.
I think people go out for the communal experience, the dedicated experience to sit in a dark room with a bunch of other folks in their community, to prepare for it by getting their popcorn, getting their candy, getting settled, and really experience the movie. And also, certainly, that's what the filmmakers are mostly envisioning when they're creating the movie. They want you to see it in that setting. They're building and crafting something that's intended for attention. And so I'm really glad to be able to offer that.
For KDNK News, I'm Catalina Villarreal.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, August 31st. I'm Audra McCabe.